For too long, the fertility market has been bewildering, overwhelming, and frankly, I think has downright ignored the needs and difficult experiences of the people they're supposed to be serving. Ovum has made it their mission to change this completely. Now, I am extremely choosy about who I promote on this podcast because I'm very protective of my listeners and audience, which is why you've probably only ever heard one spoken ad like this before. So it's with complete confidence, excitement, and pride that I can share this amazing company with you. Ovum care about you, truly. From creating products to support conception and fertility that are designed by doctors and backed by the latest science without cutting any corners, from adding access to meditations I've personally written and recorded inside their pregnancy test boxes, Ovum is founded by individuals who've navigated infertility themselves. I really couldn't be more proud to partner with them and tell you about them. Ovum is driven by the belief that everyone who is trying to conceive deserves better, and I am 100% behind this ethos. So head over to startwithovum.com and use code LIFERAFT10 for 10% off their tests and supplements.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You're ready, Bob.
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
When you make informed decisions, it is you need to know kind of the pros and the cons of whatever choice you're trying to make.
Hello and welcome to Fertility Life Raft. With me, Alice Rose. This podcast is for you if you find yourself longing for a baby and then finding that the path to bringing them home is not easy. It's for you if you've had enough of feeling like you're losing sight of yourself, because that's how I felt too. And it's also for you if you're supporting someone going through this and want to understand a little bit more. So, welcome to a totally safe space. Honest conversation. Real and raw stories shared, and a little bit of topical stuff too, because I really believe it's not all down to you to get through this. The world needs to catch up too. Well, hello, how are you? This episode is with an amazing woman who is just so inspiring. She has got her own infertility story with lots of heartache, really, that they've been through and that is ongoing, actually. But she is also the founder and CEO of a new business called Your Trusted Squad. Now, Belinda has been a medical doctor for almost 20 years, initially training in obstetrics, gynecology, reproductive and sexual health before becoming a GP. She is an executive medical director with extensive experience in virtual healthcare, quality compliance, patient safety and patient experience. And she says it was her experience of infertility and repeated miscarriages that led her to start Your Trusted Squad, which aims to empower and support couples who are trying to have a baby and finding the journey harder than expected, helping you to make informed decisions by providing coaching support and signposting and introducing you to trusted services and sources of health information that are relevant to your specific needs. And I just think it's amazing. I think she's amazing. I think the whole concept is brilliant. And we've had a really, really great chat. So I'm going to be quiet and let you listen to it. Enjoy.
Okay, so welcome to Fertility Life Raft, Dr. Belinda Coker. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks. I'm good, really good. Thank you so much for having me. Really, really good to be here.
Such a pleasure. And I mean, I was just saying to you just before I hit record that I've known of you for a while, but I didn't know too much about what you do and, you know, your story behind it all. So let's just get straight into it. Do you want to just tell me, like, share with me your story and how you ended up in this space?
Okay, so I'll start off with my infertility story, and then a bit about my medical background and how it all has got me here to where we are today, talking today. So my husband and I have been trying to conceive for now coming up to 11 years. I'd say that, I say trying to conceive because there's still always this inner hope now that we'll conceive. But I think, you know, really we're going through a surrogacy journey. I think it's you know, the likelihood of natural conception is no longer, I guess, the more realistic way. But so initially you started off, I have a history of endometriosis. I was told I probably had endometriosis when I was 10 years old. But I was officially diagnosed, I suppose, in 2010. And along the way, I've also had a history of problems with cysts. I get quite cysts, and I've had to have emergency surgery in my ovaries. So I think a combination of that, I think, is what has contributed to the infertility. But I've been told I have unexplained infertility. And along the way, I've had 4 miscarriages, 3 of which were natural conception. So we conceived naturally, and actually we had, for 2 of them, we had, you know, heartbeat seen on ultrasound scan, and, you know, it felt like it was really going to happen. But we never really got past, you know, first trimester. They were all early stage miscarriages. And we've had 9 IVF cycles and 1 frozen embryo transfer. And it's been a long, long, long road to get here, and a lot of impact on just general life and career, and it's been a long and difficult road. And I'm a doctor. I've been a doctor for nearly 20 years. I initially trained in obstetrics, gynecology, Chelsea and Westminster. That's what I said. I met Susie. And then we're called genital urinary medicine, but sexual health, and then in family planning. So quite a bit background in obstetrics, gynecology, and reproductive sexual health. And then I became a GP. So I've now been GP for about 15 years. And along the way, I started doing more managerial work. So I completed an MBA. I was running, I became a medical director. So I was responsible for kind of quality assurance of health, of the services, health services, as well as looking after the performance of the doctors, general safety and patient experience. And so all of this together, I started doing more and more kind of consulting work. I started working in digital health, and all this time was kind of having the treatments, and it was just that I wanted to do something to, I initially started with writing a blog, and it was really about just talking about what kind of apps and services there were to help people to be able to monitor their health, their fertility, health and well-being. And I started writing more about infertility. And that's where, I think towards the end of last year, I just got into a really bad, you know, just bad, dark place. And I just felt, actually, what can I do to really just make sense of this all? How can I just, you know, if this has happened, what can I do that will make it all worthwhile? Mm-hmm. You know, what can make it worthwhile? Mm-hmm. And that's where I set up the Your Trusted Squad. Now it's a fertility concierge service right now, but there's lots of plans to do more. And it's really just to help, in a similar way to what you're doing, and to help support and empower couples who are trying to conceive, who are having a really difficult fertility journey, who are having recurrent losses, to really help them to get trusted information. And not necessarily, I do write my own blogs, but actually within all of my blogs, I lead you to direct pages and resources that help you along your way. The plan is to create a directory of services as well. But right now it's a one-to-one coaching support, which is more of a signposting service. So we talk through all of the kind of fertility history, and then there's recommendations, and it's kind of a holistic plan. So it's thinking about your mental health, about your actual treatments and investigations that you've had so far, and just helping you find services that and practitioners that are relevant for what you need, information that's specific to your circumstances right now, so to help you make informed decisions really. And then I can help with arrange those appointments, make the bookings, and just help make the whole journey a lot easier, a lot less overwhelming, give you some time back, give you more control. Because that's what I found during, you know, during my journey. And even though I'm very knowledgeable about, you know, about healthcare, about the whole ecosystem of healthcare, and about, you know, about fertility and about women's health even, I still found that I spent a lot of time doing research for all various types of services, because I did build a team around me. You know, I had my I did have an acupuncturist, and I think I had at one point I had three or four different, you know, because over the years I had just different people, therapists, fertility doctors. So so over the years, and that's the type of thing. It's just, if you need that kind of additional help, to be able to help you build that team and to be part of that team and to help coordinate that team for you. So I mean, and it did take a lot of time, a lot of energy, and you know, that's just what I'm trying to do, is just make it a lot easier.
Oh, it's just, first of all, I just want to say, like, thank you for sharing your own story with us as well. You know, that is an awful lot to go through, and I'm so sorry to hear of your losses and everything, you know, everything that you've been through. So incredibly difficult, and over such a long period of time as well. And so the fact that you've, you know, sat down, as you said, like, how can I turn this into something worthwhile? How can I make this something useful, so that it's not all, you know, just pain, like just awful stuff you've been through. It's just absolutely amazing. And I think that, you know, what makes this so unique and so special is your background in you know, your vast experience in the world of sexual and reproductive health, and all of your training and your experience as a GP, you know, bringing that to the table within your own personal experience, and then setting this up as you say, like a concierge service, just amazing. Like, if I'd have had this when we were going through it, I mean, because exactly as you say, it's the amount of time you spend kind of researching, and it's like learning a whole new language, isn't it, when you're told, you know, whatever you're told about your personal circumstances, and you think, oh my god, right? So you do, everyone goes on to Google. I mean, I always try and like say to my clients, my members, like, try to minimize your time you don't want to get, you know, so like you can get so swept up with the vast amount of information that's out there. So exactly. As you said, you know, where do you go for your trusted information, your trusted reliable sources, so that you don't end up drowning in, you know, internet fertility info?
Exactly. And what I aim to do is to let you understand what does have an evidence base and what doesn't. Because, you know, there are many things that you want to try. I've tried so many things that don't necessarily have an evidence base. You just have this kind of hope. But at least know when you're making that decision that there isn't evidence to support what you're doing, or that it is a bit of a chance and a bit of a risk. And is it harmful, or is, you know, or is it not harmful? But actually to be able to know that. But also to know what is evidence-based, what is trustworthy, or where you can go as well to get that kind of and also up-to-date information. It's kind of giving a bit of, when you make informed decisions, it is, you need to know kind of the pros and the cons of whatever choice you're trying to make.
That's exactly it. So even if you are going to choose to do which may not have a lot of evidence behind it, but you just have a real pull towards trying something, as long as you understand that that's a decision you're making and it's an informed decision, that's okay. Whereas, you know, it's making that distinction, isn't it? And kind of having all of the information at your fingertips without ending up, as you said, like that time back and the control and all of the hours that we spend trying to work out, trying to do this investigation by ourselves. But it's so hard when you know, you're trying to decipher kind of medical information as well, which you're not, if you know, most of us are not trained medical professionals. So that can be
and it's my bread and butter. It's so, you know, relatively simple for me to know where to find things, because I've been doing it for years. It's been it's just part and parcel of what I do, and not just from a medical point of view, but also from a kind of quality assurance point of view. So I've done it from that kind of from knowing what is medically sound, but also, you know, from a regulation, you know, from regulation perspective and safety perspective and that type of thing. So.
And what have you found? So what are the kind of things that your clients are coming to you with, and how are you helping them?
So it varies. Some people just come because they've already had one or two failed cycles, and they are now trying to decide which clinic, which steps to take next. They may already, some of them have already been in, just about to start with a new clinic, and have some worries and concerns about the kind of cycle that they're having, or the information that they've been provided. I think they're just a little bit skeptical of when you're dealing with, when you're paying and you're also dealing with somebody who's making decisions about your care, you just want to know whether that those decisions are based on finance, or whether they're actually genuinely being made on in your best interest. And so that's often a dilemma that comes up. So that's one case, one type of case. And then other cases would be that just talk about one particular case. Somebody's had a number of male factor infertility and a number of just a really small number of vials of a sperm sample left, and just like that they just had one more left, and so basically one more cycle that was left to really make the most of during the next cycle and really try and maximize their chances. And so he just talks about things that they could do, and ask the clinic. Make sure that the service was more coordinated, because they had lost about three or four vials beforehand just from a lack of coordination. I mean, it was really actually quite sad. So that was important. But then considering other factors with the female partner as well. So thinking about also what she could do to maximize her chances from the health perspective. So from dietary perspective, thinking about how to kind of advocate, so making sure they had access to records. And then we talked about other things like whether they wanted to have acupuncture, because that was something that she was quite keen to do. So in terms of finding clinics for that. So that's another one. And so male factor and female factor and a combination of unexplained. And it's just really what kind of dilemmas come up and how we can just do the best to minimize problems and to optimize health. Really. And improve the ability to advocate. And then ongoing support. So I had a client in Spain who was going through treatment in Spain, had fibroids, and but they were actually based in, well, they were from the UK, but had moved to Spain for work. And just really providing ongoing support and helping them make their decisions about things like embryo transfer. And it's interesting how some services are different. So with this particular client, they weren't given any information about, and they had to, it was just suddenly said, well, you can either transfer on day 3 or day 5, it's up to you, you know, and there's that kind of nothing to help them make that decision. And that's, I didn't get that type of service, but I think that the service varies from different clinic to clinic, doesn't it, in terms of the support you do get. And so we were able to talk through that, not just through one cycle, but through two cycles. So,
I mean, it's invaluable, isn't it? Because what you need is someone who has got your records and your notes, and also who knows you as a person and who understands like the everything that you're bringing to the table holistically, because there might be all kinds of past trauma or difficult things that you just have, which so often are just not well, a lot of the time your GP or your healthcare professional just may not have the time to spend to understand each individually. So there's that kind of give and take of, you know, almost an acceptance that we've got to, as patients, kind of come and kind of understand in some ways that there simply is not the time often. But as you say, when you're paying as well, you know, if you're outside of the NHS and if you're, you know, listening to this in another country, you know, when you're paying, you do expect that healthcare professional should know you as an individual patient and should take into account everything that you're bringing to the table. And yet so often, you know, it doesn't happen. So you leave feeling, you know, disempowered, you leave feeling confused, you leave feeling scared, because as you say, like if someone says to you, up to you, 3 or 5 day embryo transfer, I mean, what on earth are you supposed to do with that? You know? Like, I you know, my heart goes out to them, because we were taken through it quite clearly, actually, like when we were going through our cycles, and understood that, well, we were told, you know, 5 day blastocyst, it's probably going to be your best bet, because at that point you're able to see that the embryo is continuing to develop, and therefore that will probably give you a higher chance of success. Is that I always get a bit nervous when I say anything medical, because I'm
yes, I mean the embryo has developed into a blastocyst, so he's exactly at a later stage, and so it's not a guarantee, but it just does show that because you've had the greater development, and I think just the evidence to show that actually with blastocyst stage, it you can have a better chance of implantation. But I guess it depends on a number of other factors, depending on you know, your medical history and about about the day of transfer, and whether there are any other concerns that you need to consider at a particular time. So yes, but yes, blastocyst is generally what we're aiming for, if that's possible. I mean, depending on the number of yes, of other embryos that you have available. So it may be ideal to go to blastocyst, but if you only have, you know, one or two, then it may be better to go for a day 3 transfer, sometimes even day 2. So it depends. So that's the type of thing that I have to consider.
Exactly. And this is the exact kind of thing that you want, really specific, tailored, individualized advice. You know, and it's really difficult to get that from kind of your peers, you know, like within, I really try in my online community, I do have a kind of no medical chat rule, actually, because I'm very, very conscious of this, of, you know, sharing information which can be really, really helpful in lots of ways, but also might not be, because everybody is on their own journey, is on their own path, and actually, you know, the medical professional is the person who needs to look at your case and your notes and understand what's going on for you. So I feel like, you know, there's quite a responsibility, you know, if you do run any kind of support space, to just be quite clear about what should and shouldn't be, you know, allowed, really, which sounds a bit strict, and like I'm some kind of school teacher, but what it is, it's like a fierce protection actually that I have for every single person in that space, because I know what it's like. You know, I know that there's like these gigantic kind of Facebook forums with thousands and thousands of people, and I don't know. I think it can be, it's a real double-edged sword, isn't it? Because you get that amazing community's peer support, and that's absolutely so vital. And yet at the same time, you know, as well, we've got to be clear about what is a trusted, reliable source of information and what isn't, and what might be. And it also, it depends, I'm going off on one here, but it also depends on how well you're able to kind of look at someone else's experience and also not absorb it as your own.
So exactly,
you get the information, you're like, okay, cool, thank you, that's useful to know.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's also not my story.
Exactly.
So yeah, I think, go on.
And you know your own individual circumstances, whilst their circumstances may be completely different, and they may be sharing all of it, but they may not. And you know, it depends on how many cycles you've had and other medical, you know, histories and what medication you're taking. And I know I've done it in the past as well, just trying to compare and think, oh, I hope this is going to be me. I remember, you know, selecting my clinic on this basis, you know, based on recommendations from friends that had really successful cycles, but my situation was completely different. And I don't have a child, it's not, you know, necessarily just 100% down to the clinic or down to, you know, or me. You know, fortunately there is a luck chance with it as well. You do the best you can, and we all do the best we can, and unfortunately it doesn't work for everybody, and that's why you're trying to kind of compare and to get that advice. You just want to say, yes, if it works for her, then it's going to work for me. But yeah, unfortunately it just doesn't work that way. So that's why I focus more on the informed decisions, because there is just no guarantee. But you know, just to do the best that you can, and to try and feel less. I mean, you talk a lot about mindset, and that's, you know, that's just so important, isn't it? That's just a key part of all of this, is just having that right mindset, also feeling calm and in control as much as possible, because there are so many things that are outside of our control when we're going through this journey, so much. And so if we can get control where we can, that just helps us feel we can, you know, that we are somewhat, you know, having some power over this. So.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, and you know, making a proactive decision, like, you know, using your services is such a weight off of someone's shoulders, I imagine, because, you know, if you're sort of almost not handing over completely, because you want to have always autonomy over what's going on, but just handing over some of that mighty stress, you know, which we carry around. And I remember, God, just when I was in the NHS and my appointments getting cancelled, and even just trying to get through to the fertility clinic and, you know, understanding what was going on or when my next appointment was going to be, or I don't understand, you know, and also trying to understand, you know, I remember once being told to inject a certain amount of something which was different to what I was told before, and I was just so confused, and all I wanted to do was just to speak to my consultant so that they could just reassure me and explain, and I was talking to the nurse and I was like, but can you not understand, like, why I'm confused? Like, this is what happened last time, I overstimulated, we had to abandon the cycle, and yet you're telling me a different story. And I remember just getting so frustrated, because I was like, and she was going, well, you're not trusting me as your nurse. And I was like, I trust you, but also you're not giving me the information that I need. And I was just like, I just wanted to, you know, tear my hair out, because I needed to understand. So yeah, just taking some of that, like, and this is what's so incredibly frustrating when people say to you, oh, you've just got to relax while you're going through this. And you're like, have you any idea how many things I'm trying to balance here? Have you got one iota of an understanding about how incredibly stressful it actually is to go through all of this? At the same time as having a life and, you know, working and being a friend and being a family, you know, a daughter or whatever, or for lots of people going through secondary infertility, you know, doing the same time as having children. So
children, yeah.
you know, I think what this is, and I, even the word concierge just makes me feel it makes me
that's what it's supposed to be, like, you know, we are helping you with, you know, we will speak. I mean, it is even that we will speak to, you know, your health professional on your behalf if that's what you would like us to do. It is that, you know, that it obviously varies on what makes, on what you want, really. But that's the point of the concierge is, and that's what I think, that's why I use the term, really, is that we're supposed to be here to help make the whole journey a lot, I guess, less stressful and easier for you.
Yeah, it's more smooth. You know, that.
Yeah, exactly, smooth.
It sort of adds a sort of, like almost like a much more gentle approach to this whole thing. When you think like, okay, well, what if I've got some support behind me and I know that this can happen? I mean, and I know for lots of people, you know, this service might be financially out of reach, so we'll just say that on the table now. Like, I think Absolutely. It's, you know, I wish that wasn't the case and everybody could have a, you know, a concierge service. But actually what's also really useful is to look at what you're doing and see like where the areas of like intense stress are that you are working, and even just to have that consciousness and awareness, okay, this is where I'm getting a lot of stress here. What can I do myself? If this is out of reach for me, how can I take back ownership of this myself and look at ways that I can actually reduce the stress, that I can make it more smooth for myself?
Exactly. And also that's, so I'm literally just starting out. So the concierge is where I begin and where I get my knowledge, and but said my background's in digital health as well. And so in time, I do hope to build tools that will help people who can't afford the one-to-one of the concierge service, but be able to build tools that will help people help make this all more accessible for everybody. So it's just that I'm just such an early stage, and I'm trying not to go to the point of where I might need to, you know, raise millions, because I just don't know whether that's something I want to do, but maybe that might be the case to make things move faster. But that's not really the priority right now. Its priority is just to focus on just understanding, getting more knowledge, more clients, and then building something so that we can help more people. So in time, hopefully, and you know, I'd say in time, you know, hoping in the next year, 2 years, that there would be more available to be able to help people through whatever your budget. So
yeah, exactly that. And yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is the funny, it's a funny thing, and actually we'll come on to it, because I think just talking about finances openly is really important, and I think it's interesting to talk about. I mean, I'm quite open with like, you know, my finances were in an absolute mess for quite a long time, and you know, that was for a variety of reasons. You know, my personal choices that I made, like I decided I wanted to be an actor like 10 years ago or whatever it was. I went to drama school, and then that didn't kind of work out for me, and you know, and but it all kind of fed into my story and my money story as well. And I actually think this is a very relevant conversation for, you know, for fertility patients, and whether or not you're NHS or private, because even if you are having treatment free, there are so many things that we do need to pay for, or that we want to pay for to support us through it. So understanding how we can best manage our finances and talk about them openly and be okay with that. I mean, you know, there'd be a massive cross-section of people listening to this. Lots of people who are in a really good place financially, and others who just aren't, and actually who might have been going through rounds and rounds of treatment that cost thousands and thousands of pounds. And it's just, I mean, it's just heartbreaking, isn't it, when you think about this, because it just seems so, there's such a disparity, and there's such a lottery, and especially in this country, it just.
And also the longer it goes on for, the more it costs, and the more extras you're paying for, and the more you're seeking that magic bullet. So then you suddenly, you're consulting all kinds of different professionals, and you know, the number of people I see, I'm just trying to see this specialist here and the specialist of something. And you know, it's, you can get lost in all of it, and you can spend literally tens and tens tens of thousands. And we're still ongoing, but you know, we've definitely spent over 100,000 over those years. And a lot of them are investigations. Remember, with one place, we're spending nearly £1,000 a week on blood tests, just one blood test, or you know, those immune tests. It was so painful. And then that cycle just went horrifically wrong, and it was just like £20,000 literally. We just poured that down the drain. It was just the disaster of the things that happened. So you know, it has been, yeah, there's been lots that I've learned along the way. And just, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that because you're paying for the best that you necessarily get, you know, to get the best. Yeah, exactly, get what you want. So yeah.
But this is interesting, because I think that also what often happens is that we go, right, I'm doing all of this, so I don't have any spare cash to invest in myself, in my well-being, in my my support. I don't have any spare cash for that, because I've got to spend everything on the treatment or on the on the supplements, all on the kind of essentials. And actually, I really think we've got this the wrong way around, because the essentials should be our support and our well-being and our how well we're, you know, where we're getting our information from. And if those things are in place, then it's actually far more likely that we're going to be able to make healthy, informed, good choices about where we do then want to spend the essential money on treatments and all of the rest of it, because we've got ourselves in that place. I mean, I've had countless conversations with people who have said to me, do you know what, I actually just wish I'd waited just, you know, a little bit longer and done, you know, even a bit more research, or prepared myself mentally a bit more, or whatever.
It is generally in hindsight, because at the time you do think of prioritizing your time, and what do you want really? You want the baby, so what's going to directly,
of course,
get you to having your baby? But then after maybe first cycle, then you're just, you know, you're exhausted, you know, the weight and the, you know, the way you're feeling, so it's just completely grieving from, you know, the loss of your embryo, and you thought you're pregnant, and then suddenly that's where you kind of. And when you had another cycle, then it all starts to add up. But because you don't know in advance that actually this is what can happen. So yes, you're right.
Hindsight thing.
Yeah, exactly. But also, if you think about your career, you know, when you're building your career, you invest in training, you invest in a coach, what depends on, you know, as an executive level. So yes, but
we've had very different careers.
Okay. But even for acting, I'm sure you probably did some training, you did a coach, yeah, you had a coach. You know, the best, you know, Serena Williams, I mean, how many coaches does she have? You know, when you think about the people that really do well in terms of performance, you generally do have a team around you. And you may not always succeed, but you still, you know, you learn, you do the best that you can.
Absolutely. And the thing is that if we have that team and we have that support and we understand the how essential actually that is, it's almost that whether or not that round of treatment ends with a baby or not, you're still going to go through many different challenges in your life, like whether or not you continue to go through your fertility journey, or whether you end up going through a very anxious pregnancy, or a traumatic birth, or a difficult or you might end up
your
with
child,
you
know, is sick.
Natal stuff. I mean, God knows, you know, there are so many stages to
all along the way.
Yeah. So whatever actually happens in your story and at each stage, if we actually begin, and this is such a message that I kind of want to promote, if we can put mental well-being and inner development and support and understanding ourselves at a much higher priority, at the same level of priority really as kind of everything else, we're going to be in a much better place to deal with anything that happens, really, aren't we?
And you know, with me, I have this chronic illnesses, a number of chronic illnesses. I talk about endometriosis, I also have adenomyosis, and I end up in the hospital at least once a year, for various reasons. And I generally find, and this is how I've learned over the years, that it's great to advocate for yourself and to know how to advocate for yourself when you're really in the emotions and in pain. It can be so hard to do it by yourself. So that's where it helps to have other people that are there to be able to advocate on your behalf. And whether that be, you know, your partner or a relative, a trusted friend, or somebody who is external, there's just so much power in that. So, I just think about my husband. He spends a lot of time on the phone. So he doesn't like me best step all the time, but, you know, sometimes, but during clinic appointments. But yes, that's also something that does come up is, just thinking about sometimes when you're in it, you feel that you have to really fight, but actually you don't always have to fight. You don't always have to, there are other people that can help you, and there's no shame in asking for help at all.
Absolutely. Oh my God, completely. Going back to your, how you're going through this and supporting people at the same time, what's that like for you? How are you finding that? You know, where's your support coming from?
So over the years, even now, I have had seen therapists, and now I have a coach myself. So yes, I get support. I think I get support not just from external, but also from family, from friends.
Yeah.
And then I think I do a lot of work myself. Just really a lot of reflection. I tend to have a way. It's not really journaling per se. I mean, I suppose it's technically journaling, but I tend to write things down and just ramble about everything I feel. And then I tend to rip it up or throw it away. I don't want to look at it again. So that's kind of me offloading.
Yeah.
I love my Calm app. Calm app really helps. I think that's been brilliant for me. Yoga has been amazing as well over the years, particularly I do love restorative yoga, kind of just lying with my bolster and a blanket and stuff.
I discovered that just a few years ago. I remember going with my sister. We went on a yoga retreat and in the middle of nowhere, and it was like this blustery, stormy weekend, and we were in this stunning kind of beautiful, renovated farmhouse kind of thing with like a separate yoga barn. And we did restorative yoga, and it was just so dramatic with like these kind of winds howling outside.
Oh, wow.
Candles lit, and there was like beautiful smells. And was kind of, I was like, this is like life-changingly amazing. Like,
it feels like complete luxury.
Oh my God, it's the best. I haven't actually done a class for so long, so that's very good. So this is what's in your life, Ralph. So you've got your coach, you've got your journal. I mean, I would call that journaling, absolutely. Mm. Like, offloading onto a page, ripping it up, brilliant.
Yeah.
You've got your, you've had therapists in the past and as you say, like doing things for yourself, like yoga, restorative yoga. And actually, I think, that work on yourself and like doing that, journaling and processing and getting it out, absolutely vital. I think if we don't have any kind of outlet, it's very difficult, because you think, well, where is that energy all going? Where are all these thoughts? Unless it has a proper channel, it does actually stay inside, and that can't generally be a good thing.
Absolutely. And it's odd, because it's only since I've been through infertility that I started doing all of this, but I've been a doctor for years and used to work on high risk labor wards and, just dealt with, worked in palliative care and hospices, and I've never really had that kind of time, taken that time to reflect or to offload when I've been dealing with patients over all of these years. So it's only now I'm using that infertility, what I've learned through going through infertility. But that's affecting, or having a positive effect on the rest of my life. So definitely learned some new things.
And are you working as a GP now?
Not right now. When I started last year, so as of May last year, I started doing a lot less So I was doing lots of online work, and then I started to kind of work towards Your Trusted Squad, doing my digital health work, and now I'm full time in Your Trusted Squad. So
fabulous. Yeah. Well, congratulations to you for setting up such a fantastic service and business. It's just, I get very excited when I speak to other women who have kind of, you know, essentially looked at what has happened to them and are using that for something so empowering and so great for other people going through this stuff. It's really, it's quite scary setting up your own business, isn't it? But it's also...
Yeah, and that's, you're talking about the general practice. It's been a really tricky, you know, it's been, because I've been a GP for so long, and it's been something that I was talking with Kate, your fertility nurse, and, you know, my coach about, you know, these type of things, you know, just the NHS has been, you know, pretty much a huge part of my life. And now to leave, is it the right thing to do? But yes, because of the purpose, and they just had to talk through, you know, really, why am I doing this? And absolutely, this feels like the right thing to do. And actually, you know, I wasn't just the GP. I was doing as a medical director, and I was very, you know, I was doing very well, should I say. So it wasn't, you know, it's not financial thing at all. It's not related to that. So yes, I probably would be more comfortable then than right now. So, you know, I mean, like you said, working for yourself is totally different. I think I sent you a message at like 2 a.m.
It's a whole other world, isn't it?
exactly. But it just feels so right. And it's, like you said, there are challenges to face, but it's just worth it. You know,
so. It's so inspiring, and I really, it's been brilliant chatting, and I hope we can do some more stuff together, but it's been really, really great. So thank you so much for your time today, and just tell everyone where they can find you, and go for that.
Thank you. So my website is yourtrustedsquad.com. I'm also on Instagram at yourtrustedsquad, and that's say mostly Instagram. Also have a LinkedIn profile, but everything's pretty much at Your Trusted Squad. So I'm available DMs, and also you can find how to contact me on the website as well. Brilliant. And read the blog. There's lots of information on the blog, and there'll be more to come.
Lots to come.
That's
a one to watch for sure. Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time.
Can I just mention my free guide, actually? I mean, it's probably not so relevant for people at this stage. I don't know what stages people are at in your, but I have written a free guide to help people who are kind of, you know, within the early stages of the fertility journey and going to consult with their GP. It's called the Fertility Consultation with Your GP. And it just gives, you can take it along with you. There's some checklists, and it's just about the investigations, about, you know, that you should go with your partner, and just the type of things that you can expect when you have that consultation. And I'll be doing one on IVF fairly soon, so that will coming out really in December or January.
Love it. That sounds amazing and so useful. So God, wish I would have had that myself when I was doing this. But how brilliant that you're here now. So go and have a look at all of Dr. Coker's resources, free stuff, pay for services sound absolutely brilliant as well. So, and lots more to come. All right. Thank you so much
for chatting with me. It's really lovely to see you in person.
You too. I really love speaking to women who are entrepreneurs, who have been through something incredibly hard, who have looked at what they've experienced and have decided that they want to do something useful with it. It makes me feel really excited. I love that, you know, by using all of her experience, both in life and professionally, you know, Belinda's
chosen to put her energies into creating this amazing thing. So I really hope you loved that episode. I hope it was helpful. And do let us know. As always, please do drop us a review on Apple Podcasts. It would really make my day. It really, really would. And yeah, make sure it's 5 stars, because that's that's the way to get some really good karma. And yeah, also share it, pop it on Instagram if you're listening right now, tag me so I can share as well, send it to people that you know. Anything that we do to spread awareness of infertility and the support and resources available to people who are going through it really does change the game for so many people. And massive thank you to everyone who emails me, who messages me, who does leave a review. Like, I can't tell you what it means to get your messages and hear back from you. So thank you for listening and for being part of this community, which is so special. Sending you all of the love. Do take care, and I will see you soon.